Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get juicy large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to hate all of the men on Felicity? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing really good. You know how in Little Rascals they had like girls stink, no boys.
It's the he-man woman haters club. Yes. Yeah,
this is the she-woman man haters club today.
Yeah, we're about to be some big old man haters because wow, every single almost not we'll give Ben a teeny bit, you know. Ben is okay. Mm-hmm. The rest of the men on this show can seriously just get the fuck out of here. They're awful. They're making terrible decisions in this episode. Of course, we're talking season 3, episode 7, kissing Mr. Covington, which, ooh, Sarah, I'm trying to remember. I was going to say, was it because I was like, why would they call Ben Mr. Covington? You know,
you did. That was all you. You were like, weapons if it's Ben's dad. And I was like, ew, no. But you sniffed it out.
Like, I wish I was wrong.
Yeah. Like a little hound dog. You sniffed it out.
Yeah.
So, I wish you were wrong too, because it's absolutely revolting, but what are we going to do?
Yeah. I don't like when they do this to John Ritter, especially because, on Buffy, like, he was also a baddie, and I'm used to John Ritter being like America's dad, you know?
Whose dad?
Whose dad? He's America's dad.
Whose dad? But like, whose dad?
I'm so confused. What?
Like, I want to know, like, I know John Ritter from Three's Company. Where do you
know? Oh, you're asking. Okay. I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to remember the name. Eight Simple Rules.
I hate about my teenage daughter or something like that.
It was 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter
or something. Did you watch that? Because I didn't.
I did watch it. Yeah, it was a sitcom on from, oh my God, it only had 3 seasons. I don't know why I felt like it had way more, like, I mean, but here's the thing. Like, there are some famous names and faces on that show. I mean, Kaylee Cuoco being one that, like, is mega fame now. Yes. Back in the day, that was kind of her, I think, maybe her starting point. But yeah, I don't know. John Ritter is just, I feel like he's so wholesome that then when I see him being bad on TV, I'm just like, no. It hurts my heart extra.
Okay. Yeah. I just think of him from Three's Company, and he was kind of like a clown on that show, but that's,
oh, he was like a perv. Yeah. A little pervy perv.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know if, like, I feel like it's that left to center for him, but I've never watched 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, whatever it's called. But yeah, John Ritter is back. We get this huge Ben and his dad storyline. And I was not very receptive to it the first time around. And I think it was because I was like in a mood, because this is very interesting stuff. And I might have like a little different of an opinion on Ben and his dad's relationship this time around. We'll see where we land, but interesting episode. But yeah, like the guys were doing some dumb things this episode.
Yeah, and it's not great for the men of Felicity. They're all doing the worst. But before we dive too far into this episode, we just want to let people know we now have a YouTube channel and you can watch us podcast. Of course, if you want to download in your podcatcher of choice, we always appreciate that. But go on over to youtube.com/@shit90spod. And that's where you can find us. Hit subscribe. You get a little notification thingy. You'll get notifications of whenever we post new podcasts. And we can now present, Sarah. I have my little rotating artwork behind me. Mm-hmm. It's Free Pizza Friday.
I'm so excited. It's Free Pizza Friday today. I would love some free pizza.
Yeah. So make sure to go subscribe and follow along. And if we ever have like visual aspects, of course, we'll talk about them. This one, we don't really have anything visual to talk about, but sometimes. And we did launch with a bonus podcast about the movie North, where I did like a presentation to Sarah on that movie. As she didn't watch it, I did. And that was a ton of fun. That's also on our YouTube channel. So go check that out. We'll, of course, have all of our, we have the backlog of Felicity also uploaded. It's audio only, but we'll have playlists for all the seasons of Felicity and Buffy, of course. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sarah, where do you want to begin? Here's what we have to chat about today. We have Ben's dad and everything surrounding that. We have Noel being a creepy stalker. We have Sean's connection with Judaism and his relationship with Megan. And then, of course, we have Elena and Tracy.
You know, I'm going to say dealer's choice.
Okay, let's start with Sean and Megan, because they're the ones that are kind of like off on their own, right? Like, I feel like it's easy enough to talk about them. What did you make of Sean's kind of diving into Judaism after he's had his surgery, because he made a pact with God that if he were to live and be okay, he would devote his life to God?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying last week, where oftentimes when people are in these dire situations where they feel like either their life is at risk or somebody else that they care about life is at risk, even if you're not one to pray, you find faith in those moments. So I'm not surprised that in this like moment where like Sean is just filled with so much anxiety about the cancer and about the surgery, that he made this like pact with God. Like, one of the things that like I had done when my dad was like literally dying was the same. Like, I prayed and I said, like, please, like, if he like makes it through, I promise I'll do this, I promise I'll do that. And I think that when he didn't make it through, that's honestly when I started getting angry towards Judaism and my religion, because, I mean, along with a bunch of other things, but that was like, hey, like, I thought if I just like prayed and hoped, then like the big man up top was going to come through for me. And he didn't in that time. Of course, you know, it's there's only so much that a higher power can do, I suppose. But I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised that like Sean made this connection. Of course, like where it goes south is like the extreme of it. And I really liked what Rabbi Morgenstern said, was that like, you can't do like a crash diet with religion. Like, you can't, like, if everything is going good now and then something bad happens in the future, like you get cancer again or a different type of cancer, like, does that mean that like your connection with God is fractured? Like, do you no longer believe in God? Like, it's a life commitment, not just because of one situation that happened. So I thought that that was all very interesting. And I thought that it was I don't, like I said, I don't like blame Sean for, you know, taking it seriously. Like, I don't know if my prayers had come true, how seriously I would have taken it. Or in addition, like if my dad made it through in that moment, but then inevitably passed away in a month or a year, would I feel that same betrayal from God? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very interesting thing. Like, of course, like, you know, don't break up with Megan. Megan's like an angel to you. She was patient and loving and took care of you and, you know, was non-judgmental with like your exploration and continues to not be judgmental with your exploration. And I know that you're just going to like pop off with the fact that like Sean broke up with Megan due to not being Jewish after taking care of him. But I'm just like giving like my sympathies to Sean because it's, of course, a really hard situation that he went through and he thinks that he's doing the right thing.
No, for sure. I think of all of the men doing shitty, dumb things this episode, Sean's journey is the one that I probably have some of the most sympathy for, because he feels like, okay, God did me a solid. And maybe this is like actually what he's thinking, right? Like, God did me a solid, yeah. Help me through this. Now I have to follow through. Otherwise, what the heck am I, you know? And yeah. I understand, right? Like, I think a lot of times people lean on religion in like really difficult times because what else is there when you can't find logic or reason in things? You may want to believe in something that you can't have like actual physical proof of. And so I can appreciate that. It was more of like, I was disappointed that it felt like Megan was very supportive of this entire journey. Not once, like she poked fun a little bit, but not in a way of like, oh, Judaism is stupid or like you're dumb for doing this, right? Like, she's helping him get ready for like Sabbath. She's going and buying all of these things that he'll need. Like, she is being extremely supportive of him. And then like, I love the lines from Megan of, I'm not converting to Judaism because you lost a nut, is like hilarious to me, right? Like, I was just annoyed with him because he so quickly was like, oh, now I'm ultra Jewish. And that means I have to marry someone who's ultra Jewish and you're not. So obviously this isn't meant to be. So bye. Like, I think part of it, I think if we're trying to look deeper into it, I would probably also assume Sean is still very scared because he did just have major surgery. And like, I don't know. Was it clear to you if we got the results of like, they got it all? Like, I don't think we, because it said it was going to take like at least a week or something, right? Like, I don't know if he's necessarily in the clear at this point.
Yeah, I'm not totally certain. Like, I believe that the tumor was probably very like malignant. Like, it probably went off to testing. They were biopsying it and it was probably malignant. And like, I would assume that he probably is in the clear for at least now, but I'm not quite sure. This is not like a Scrubs or like,
yeah, you know, like Anatomy. They didn't make it super clear to us, but I guess if I'm trying to look deeper into it, I think Sean is really scared. I think it's really common for people to push people away in those situations. And I think that's what he might be doing. Like, he might be thinking, I'm just going to get cancer again. Like, I can't put Megan through this. Like, maybe I should end it. Or she doesn't want to be with someone who only has like one ball, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, he could be having, like, subconsciously having those thoughts and feelings and using this as an excuse, as like a reason they shouldn't be together. I think he's panicking a little bit, which is very understandable. And I have to commend Megan because she forgave him so quickly. Like, she so immediately was like, I'm not going to marry you because that's idiotic.
Yeah, but, that was crazy. Yeah.
Well, because the rabbi, and this was, okay, I, in my head a little bit, I was like, is this guy actually a rabbi?
I thought the same thing. I was like, maybe he's not, but I don't know.
I mean, maybe he is. It was just so funny because he was, I mean, to give him points, I guess points in the favor of like, he is a rabbi when he says things like God isn't a fad. And those feel like things that would be said by someone who is like religious enough or like ingrained in that sort of, you know, world. But yeah, the rabbi is like, no, don't break up with Megan. I don't know why he needed to jump to propose to Megan. You know, there's such a thing as dating.
I think it's because like the hopes are that like you like marry young and then make more little Jewish babies to like go to temple. So like I think that like, I don't know, it feels like very Yenta to be like, when are you getting married? Like, you know, you gotta marry before I die. Like that's like some shit that I heard from my grandparents. Megan was great. Like she really was. She was so supportive. She was so forgiving. She's literally my favorite character by like leaps and bounds at this moment of the show. And you know what? Like I do like coming from a mixed faith household. They can make it work. Those two crazy kids, that the Wiccan and the Jew, they can make it work. Like, in my household, like Adam lets me light the menorah, but we light the menorah together during Hanukkah. I go to church with him and see him play the piano and sing. And like, as long as you're open, then like you can make it work. My best friend, she's Catholic and her husband and children are Muslim. They make it work very well. You know, people can make it work. I didn't finish Nobody Wants This, but I assume that they made it work too.
Finish Nobody Wants This? I thought you and Adam were watching it, or you didn't get to it yet.
It's been slow. Like we were like on like a couple of, it's a little too like, I don't know. This episode of Felicity very much reminded me of that show, actually, just like how like deep in the weeds we get into like some of the Jewish traditions. And like, it's like, you know, so I assume they made it work too. Those two crazy kids, whatever his face is, Joanne and
Seth Cohen. I don't know anybody. He's Seth Cohen from the OC. I have no idea what his name was on the show. I liked this, and I like when Megan is, because Molly in this episode is really just a sounding board, which is fine by me. I don't need her to do much more. And I love Megan being like, I'm not asking him to be a warlock. And then she's like pissed off because she spent the last few weeks like holding his hand, being extremely vulnerable, like being a really, really supportive partner. And then he breaks up with her. And I love how she's like simultaneously like pissed off, but also understanding, but also irritated because she has been so vulnerable and that's not how she usually is. So I love this couple so much. And I was so happy that we didn't have multiple episodes of like them being broken up and getting back together. Like it was very quick that Sean was like, no, I was an idiot. And I love that even after he proposes and she's like, that's idiotic, no, that he was like, yeah, I kind of figured you'd say that.
Yeah, because they know each other. They know each other really well. And actually, I love how she's like, I'm not going to marry you, but like, yes, we like, let's get back together. Like, let's be together. Yeah. And as long as like, you're okay with me, I'm okay with you. Because he's like, are you okay with me continuing this like exploration of faith? And she's like, of course, but like, you know, don't pick up with me out of the blue because of whatever, you know? So I, you know, as much as like, I didn't like this because I'm like, oh no, like their relationship, who I really, really like, I said last week that it might be my favorite TV relationship that I've seen on shows that we've covered. Mm-hmm. I think it is. I don't like it being messed with, but like I do like the story. Like I do like it, and I do like how, you know, real couples are they have challenges. Like they have things that, you know, everybody deals with, and it's more authentic if these two have a real problem. So I like it. And then one other thought, like, I feel as though like I do think that the rabbi was really a rabbi, but this show is like a show like Community. I feel like that was 1000% a fake rabbi. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If it's a different show, it's a fake rabbi.
Like, I think that like other shows, not shows that I've covered on this network, but like shows that like you've covered, like is, yeah.
They would rabbi. Do the fake rabbi bit. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It just the whole storyline, like as much as Sean was frustrating me, I feel like of the men doing frustrating things, mm-hmm. I had the most like sympathy and understanding for his actions. And like, ultimately I was happy where we landed because he did like apologize for breaking up with Megan, right? Like he righted the wrongs that he made during the episode. Yeah. And I'm just happy he's doing better. Like it seems like he's out of the hospital now, which is good regardless. Right. So, happy they're doing well together. Loved Megan's little crimpy hair that she was sporting this episode. Just happy for them in general. And I don't know that I'm ready to label them as like my favorite couple that we've watched on any Shit 90 Shows show. But I would say currently they're very high up there. They feel almost like, cause they're kind of like an oops-a-daisy couple is the way I would like phrase it, where it's not really plotted out. You don't see it coming from a mile away. All of a sudden, they're together. And when they're together, they're together. It reminds me of like a Chandler and Monica on Friends. Mm-hmm. Like, and those are some of my favorite couples where it's like, there's no will they, won't they? They just are. And then they're solid. Are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have a gavel. Do you have a gavel handy?
I do not have a.
I have a stapler.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay.
Great makeshift gavel.
Innocent or guilty?
Okay. Who is innocent or guilty?
Sean.
Oh, innocent.
I agree. Gavel down. Cleared
of charges.
Stapler down.
He's cleared of the charges.
Yes.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about Elena and Tracy.
Yes. Okay. So we've anticipated this coming out for a really long time. They've hinted at it at times. It was just like, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. When is Tracy going to find out about Dr. McGrath? Professor McGrath? Dr. McGrath? I don't know.
Either one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Fuckery. The Mr. one Fuckery. That Elena, the professor that she hooked up with, and it came out this episode, but the thing is that Elena is not innocent in all of this because she is a cheating whore, an absolute fucking whore. And she is like really, really wavering if she wants to tell Tracy about hooking up with Finn, who is his lab partner, who they wrote like this paper with that won an award or something. And she's like debating back and forth. She's talking to Noel, and ultimately she's like, okay, I should like tell him. But before then, what happens is there is this like report coming out, and the report is that Dr. McGrath had multiple relationships with students, and Elena just so happens to be on this list. And Tracy is very surprised because they had spoken about Dr. McGrath a lot, like, and he's surprised that Elena didn't share that with him. So he comes up to Elena and basically he's like, I heard about the affair. And Elena's like, the first thing that Elena thinks of is like Finn. And she's like, I'm really sorry, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And he's like, Dr. McGrath. And Elena's like, wait, what?
Yeah. This is rough for many reasons. One of which is it's disgusting to me that there's a list going around of like the names of the students involved.
It should be because the thing was that the person that like puts out this thing is Dr. McGrath's like
TA or assistant.
Yes.
And I think it's because like she is like probably accusing him of sexual assault. And then there is like a list of other women that have been assaulted by him. The thing is that it should be like anonymous.
It should be quiet. Like it shouldn't be made public. And especially after it's made public, I wish that like someone had reached out to Elena, like someone from the school. I mean, we don't know that they didn't, but we didn't see it. So, and she looks surprised when he brings up McGrath. So the fact that both this information was leaked about which students he was involved with and that the school didn't step in and say, can we offer you counseling? Like, can we talk to you about this? Nothing like that happened. That's all like fucked for Elena because she's finding out from Tracy, who is upset. And like the reason he's upset is not necessarily, I don't think he's like, you are a whore and you slept with our professor. No. He's upset because she never told him because because they've talked about McGrath in the past and blah, 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 which to that, I would say, Tracy, she really doesn't owe you that. Like that is something that I'm sure she feels a certain amount of shame about in her past. And like, she probably didn't want to talk about it. I don't know that he has a right to be as upset as he is. I understand feeling like, oh, you kept something from me, but it's not like she lied to you about that. We'll get into the Finn stuff.
It's a lie of omission, girl.
Yeah. But like, does she owe him telling him about this whole thing with McGrath? No. I don't think so.
Okay. I think my opinion is like, he can be hurt by the fact that they are in a relationship. They have been for like nearly a year at this point, maybe at least 6 months at the very least. Mm-hmm. And they are sharing everything together. He almost lost his like virginity to her. And like, he thought that they were close. And I think he's allowed to be hurt by the fact that she didn't open up about to him about this. However, I don't think that he can be angry, if that makes any sense. Like,
no, I know what you mean. Like, he can't be mad at her, but he can feel a little bit like, oh, that sucks. Like, disappointed that she didn't tell him.
Like, I think that, like, if he worded it by, like, look, like, I thought that you and I had a relationship where we were very open with each other and shared everything. And I'm a little hurt that you didn't feel like I was a safe space for you to share that with me and be like, tell me about this, because I thought that we were on a really good path between like partners. Of course, once again, like 19, 20 year olds don't talk like this, like, you know. But I think that like if he in his own Tracy way was able to communicate like in that way, then I would say like, yeah, like he can feel hurt that like she didn't open up to him about this big part of her life, especially because they are, you know, they've been together for a really long time. And I think that I don't think that you, when you get with somebody, you have to tell them like your entire history, but like maybe big strokes about what happened in your life to like kind of understand. So, so that wasn't great where Tracy kind of like freaked out at Elena and he, I don't know, he like storms off or something. And then, but then he feels bad because then he comes back and he's like, Elena, I have written you a poem and I am an artiste. Yeah.
He wrote her. Okay. And I'm not trying to shit on Tracy because apparently this took him all like lab class to write, which is a little sad because Elena has five letters. Yeah. I love Tracy. He's very sweet and he means well. Mm-hmm. This was like a child's poem.
Oh my God. But he's like, I thought the poem was sweet. Like I think like I'm not gonna like rag on his poem, but he is like a doctor. I don't think he wants to be a surgeon. I think that's just Turk from Scrubs. But I'm gonna say he wants to be a surgeon because in my headcanon, Tracy is Turk, Turk is Tracy.
Right.
And he is like bro-y, and
like an intellectual, and he's like probably not in his feels that often. And he wrote her this lovely poem. We have the poem. Anywhere close?
Yeah, I'm trying to find. Here we go. E is for everything you do so well.
That's so sweet.
Yes, that's kind. L is for your long, luscious legs and locks. That line I thought was pretty good. E is for every time my heart flutters when you walk into a room.
Oh.
N is for never wanting to be apart.
Oh.
A is for always and forever.
Okay, I love this. I think it's sweet. I think it was the way that he read it. Okay, and then there was like another part, right?
Yeah, so this is what you mean to me, and this is how it will always be. My love for you is so, so strong. Right here is where I belong.
Okay, maybe that's the part that was a little childish because it rhymes, right? Like poems don't have
to rhyme. Well, no, they don't have to rhyme, but also I think it's because I remember making these sorts of poems like as a child where you write the letters of the word. It's like mom, like you know what I mean? Like that's what it feels like. But it is very sweet. Like I think he does this as a sort of semi-apology for like overreacting about the whole McGrath thing. Mm-hmm. But the biggest problem is Elena was about to confess to him what she did with Finn, because this whole time she's been trying to keep that under wraps. Like he wants to do a dinner with the three of them because the paper won an award, and she has to go to Finn and be like, this is nothing. Like, please. Like I love Tracy. Like, I don't want to mess this up. I find it interesting that Elena, the only person that knows is Noel. He is the person that she chose to tell. I kind of like this because I feel like they did bond when they were roommates. And like there is, I think that she knows if she tells Felicity or like maybe Megan, like someone, one of her roommates, I think she knows like what their reactions will be. And I feel like given that Noel is doing something that is so off the wall, awful and like morally bad, she feels like, well, maybe we're a little bit on even playing field.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, I think that it's interesting that both Noel and Elena often go to each other for support or as a sounding board. I think that they're an interesting mix of people because I think that Elena represents that like thinking brain, while Noel is that feeling brain. So I feel as though like they have a very interesting dynamic. Like I really think that I'm not surprised that they go to each other because I mean, like, I don't know. I could not like not see a world where by the end, like that's the couple. But I don't know. I just like wouldn't be surprised.
I just I want there to be at least one platonic couple. So like I would like for them to maintain, you know, them being platonic. But she's about to tell him about Finn, and then he reads her this poem and she can't.
He won't shut the fuck up.
He won't let her speak, and it's a problem. And so she just doesn't say anything. And the problem is when he bumps into Finn next, he talks vaguely enough about the quote unquote affair that Finn thinks he's referring to himself and Elena. Mm-hmm. And he admits to what happened. And no bueno. This is not good.
No, they're fucked. Oh, it's so depressing. I love Tracy. I really do. Like, I just really love his character. I think that he's understandably going to be very upset about this affair, and I don't blame him for what he's going to say or what he's going to do. Like, I wouldn't be happy about this. I think that their relationship was already starting to get fractured because of this, like, a bunch of things. Like, I think that they're just not on the same page. Like, I think that the sex thing, they're not on the same page about. I think they're not on the same page about, like, I think he's a little too loosey-goosey and she's a little too rigid. I think that, you know, I ultimately do think that that is what each other needs. But I think that maybe they both need somebody a little bit more center
as like a true partner. You know what I mean? Like, I think that like he's too loosey-goosey, she's too rigid. And I think that like they need somebody to like kind of like meet in the middle a little bit. And then of course this McGrath thing, it creates like a level of distrust. Elena isn't going to like him freaking out at her all the time. So I think that this is very well might be the end of Tracy and Elena, which blows because I like them together. Yeah. And I like Tracy. And obviously we're not losing Elena. So we're going to lose Tracy, which makes me angry.
Because yeah,
it's I wish that we could just get rid of Elena and keep
No, I love Elena, except she's making bad mistakes right now. But I could see this being the end. If not, we're nearing the end. Like, they try to make it work, but the trust just isn't there anymore. And I guess like what I want to know and what I hope the show explores is, why did Elena self-sabotage here? Like, why did she sleep with Finn? Is it literally as simple as like Finn was attractive, they had chemistry, she made a mistake? Or is there a deeper reason to like why she did what she did? If we are going to get the end of Elena and Tracy, at least I hope we get a little bit more of an exploration of like, why did Elena do what she did, you know?
Yeah, some sort of combination between dead mother and negligent father who doesn't pay attention to her, and she doesn't have the ability to connect real relationships or connect with real relationships that are long term, because she has the issues of abandonment is what...
some classic therapy stuff.
Ben has a little sprinkling of that as well.
Oh god, yeah.
So okay, I mean, she woman man haters club, we have Stabler gavel. Tracy, is he innocent or guilty?
I would say innocent.
I agree with you.
I think he comes around similar to Sean. While he did some dumb things this episode, I think he did get over the whole McGrath thing. And I think that was what the poem was kind of like, you know.
Yes, what he was trying to say. Yeah. And he, of course, can have feelings and be upset and be angry at Elena for being cheated on with Finn.
Certainly. Yeah.
So innocent as well. I agree.
Innocent. Okay, let's talk through Noel. Sarah, this is I'm gonna let you take the stage because this is a very tough week for Team Noel.
So the thing is that you are forgetting that Noel is a romantic at heart, and he is just looking for love
in all the wrong places,
in all the right places. So he's in love with Tyra Banks. And you would say, Sarah, how and why Tyra Banks is problematic? And I say, no. This is 90s Tyra Banks.
Classic Tyra Banks.
A classic in her prime Tyra Banks. And of course, he will do, just like Meatloaf said, I would do anything for love. Anything. Include reading your emails to create the perfect man for you, Tyra Banks. You like Indian food? I love Indian food. You like yoga? I'm a yogi. You read book? I read book. I will do anything for love. And I would even do that. You know, that thing where like he's like
the thing that normally I wouldn't do, I will do it
for you, Tyra Banks. Only for you, I would do that. And he does it. So yes, we were like, what does he do with the computer? He has like passwords. I don't understand. I don't know how we didn't get the connection of like emails.
Because Sarah, I don't think either one of us would have assumed that Noel would be this level of like creepy stalker looking at someone's email to essentially, because folks, if you weren't like hopping and bopping on the internet a ton in the 90s or early aughts, email was what today's like texting is, you know, like you would write to your friends back and forth via email. And he basically calls it like it's her own kind of diary. Like essentially what Felicity was doing with Sally of recording little messages and sending to her. Yeah. Tyra Banks is doing with one of her friends via email. And
a more cost effective way.
Certainly. No postage. Yeah. But it's also weird because it's her school email. Although I guess back in the day, that's probably what you had. Like that was what you used. Yeah. But yeah, so he is now reading all of her emails, finding out everything about her and gaslighting her into thinking that he is also into those things. Because when he does happen upon her prior to reading the emails, he happens upon her, he tries to like gauge her interest in things, and it seems like they have absolutely zero in common, which I don't know, Noel. Yeah. Maybe is a hint that like you wouldn't make a great couple, but no, the fact that you're so hung up on her beauty and that is why you are obsessed with like getting with her is disgusting and reprehensible. Like you don't like yoga, you don't like any of the things she likes.
He might he doesn't know that he doesn't like yoga, he just hasn't done it before. He doesn't know that he doesn't like Indian food until he tries the tikka masala. Like there is so much that he, like, she can open up an entire new world for him. He just doesn't know. Yeah, so he basically like manufactures like these meet cutes of like, oh, you're at the yoga studio? That's wild. Oh, you're reading the same book as me? You like the same dance troupe as me? Like it's like, even if he did this, I'm not saying it's a bad idea to do this. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like, yes. Take these tools that you have and like find a way to make it work. It's almost like everything we've talked about this before. Like there are so many times where like you are into somebody and you take on their interests, even though you don't give a shit.
Certainly. And I am very much open to people, you know, broadening their horizons, trying new things. Like if your partner is interested in something, try it out. See if you like it. If it's not for you, it's not for you. That's fine. Well, like happy that you tried it. But this is manipulation and so creepy.
Okay. But honestly, it's also kind of like, it's just like, oh, you like this band? I love this band. Like, I feel like we did this when we were younger.
Not read people's emails. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a big difference mm-hmm. between someone, you're on a date and someone is like, oh my gosh, I love Nickelback.
Yeah.
And you're like, I love Nickelback too. And you're lying because it's a first date and you like really like this person. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between that and snooping through someone's private emails, finding out what they like, and specifically going to those places to meet up with them and also pretending you like them. Like literally he's like quoting, I don't know how she hasn't caught on to like what's going on.
Fuck.
Because seriously, he's not subtle at all. He's like, emails. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. I'm not saying don't do it. Do it. Fine. Get the emails, read the emails. Be smart about it. You gotta be subtle. That's the issue. That is Noel's real crime here.
The crime is that he's unsubtle.
Absolutely.
Good God.
It's like, if you're going to do this, be smart about it and find a way to not be so obvious about it. I thought that he got found out when he like reiterated that line. He was like, oh, like, I just wish that I was home with you, like fucking you or whatever the line was. It was very like flowery. Like she slapped him. I thought that like she was like, she figured it out. I was like, because you literally took the same exact line from the email and reiterated it back to her.
Yeah.
No, this dumb bitch was like, she's not a dumb bitch. Sorry. She's just stupid. She's not a bitch. She's very nice. she was like, oh my gosh. Like, I can't believe you said that you wanted to sleep with me. That's what you thought? Because then she was like, later on, she was like, I was talking to my friend about it. And she was like, hey, whatever your name is, Tyra Banks, you just said last week that you wanted somebody to say those exact words with you. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. This idiot. It's like, you really don't know that he's reiterating and spitting this shit back to you. Oh my God. I thought that she found him out. Did you know, or did you think that she was slapping him because of like the dirty words that he was saying?
No, when she slapped him, I thought she had caught on. Yeah. Like, because I was like, oh, great. She actually like gets it now. Because again, he's like full on like verbatim reading what she wrote. And I like Elena's point of like, humans don't come with instruction manuals. Like, because he's like, this is basically an instruction manual on how to get her to like me. And it's like, that's not okay. What a relationship should be.
Also, okay, hold on. No. I'm thinking too, once again, my relationship. I'm on this fucking podcast for 3 years talking about all the shit that I need and I want, and I like want my perfect partner. All of a sudden, Adam grows a beard. Adam grew that beard for me.
So okay, but
you'd be like, oh yeah, she likes beards. I'm gonna grow a beard so that I can, she finds me attractive. Same thing with the Taylor Swift thing. Oh, Sarah, like I really need to hear what's going on with the new Taylor Swift album.
Okay, but
this is public.
Exactly. You're saying these things on a public platform, assuming people will listen, right? That's the point, is for people to listen.
I don't know who listens.
But at the same, it's not the same as writing private thoughts in an email for a stranger. Let's also say Adam was not a stranger to you. So a lot less creepy for a stranger to just show up places that you are and ingrain himself in your life. Like, this is so supremely fucked up.
Yeah.
And I was honestly like, just because what he says, the food is great and everything, but you know what I'd rather be doing? I'd rather be making love to you.
Would that line work on you?
Absolutely not. No, I would laugh. I would laugh hard. Yeah. It's bad. And like the fact that then she comes back at the end of the episode and is like, I'm really sorry. I was just saying to my friend, I've always wanted for like someone to say that sort of thing to me. Like, I shouldn't have slapped you. And I'm like, girl, what possessed you? It's just so bad. Like, it's the fact that Noel bounced this idea off of Elena, and Elena was like so aghast, right? She was like, do not do this. This is a terrible idea. And he did it anyway. This is not going to end well. I think we had said last episode that like, oh yeah, obviously Tyra Banks is going to be on here for a little bit. Like, she's not just going to be on one episode as like someone who needs their computer fixed, but this can only end poorly. And my other question is he not still with Natalie?
I don't think it matters.
She's an Oktoberfest, but I thought that it was like a thing where like, oh, she'll come home and we'll be together. So it's like, if that's also the case, then it's like triply as bad. And I like, Noel was doing all the bad things this episode where I was like, okay, it's never been easier to be Team Ben, truly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I would say once again, I would go to the end of the earth for true love. And that's just me. I love love. You hate love, famously. And you hate that boat. I love that fucking boat.
I don't remember ever saying I hated the boat, but okay.
You hate true love.
I do. Yeah.
I love true love.
And this is obviously true love, you know, manipulating someone into loving you. Definitely what true love is all about. So this can only go poorly. It's only going to end poorly. I don't know what Noel's thinking, especially because like, literally, if the whole point is that you're like, I want to fuck her.
Yeah.
Why are you manipulating? Like, then just like woo her. Don't be like, I'm into everything you're into and I go to all your yoga classes. And like, don't be a fucking major creep.
It's pretty crazy, actually. All right. You ready for the gavel?
Oh, yes. Guilty.
Guilty. I agree.
Big time guilty.
Yeah. But if the question was, who is innocent in leading with his heart? Well, actually, no, he's guilty of that. Guilty with leading with his heart and working endlessly to find the right person for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that very well might be Tyra Banks. And for that, I would say I too am guilty of leading with my heart and choosing love every time.
Wow.
And you know what? Maybe I've read an email or two.
We're making big leaps. We're making big leaps.
Not of my partner, but I wouldn't put it past myself to read an email or two.
Oh, I wouldn't put it past you either. I don't think you would do this level of like you would do this sort of thing in like an online reality game of like reading someone's emails to manipulate them into like being your ally. You would not do this as like a real life, like I need someone to fall in love with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
All right, let's get into the tougher stuff. We're going to be talking about Felicity Ben and Ben's dad, who reappears this episode after, I guess, the insurance company calls him because Ben is under his insurance. So he flies out from California to New York and he wants to see Ben. And what did you think of his approach, Sarah, of attempting to go through Felicity?
It's manipulative. Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah. And I think that this is really interesting because I think that like there's definitely like people like out there that are like very manipulative. They can't get through to their child or whomever, but they can go through what they view as like the weakest link or like somebody like Felicity who genuinely just wants Ben to be happy. And she, I think that, and this is where I stood as well, like even though Ben had told her like this is something that happens all the time, he makes these promises then he like ditches me or abandons me, I think that like when Mr. Covington came this time around, I think that she still was like, he's your dad. Like, you know, he's an addict. He's going through it. He's trying to better himself because this is things that like John Ritter is telling her and she believes it. And it's hard for her to like not see through that fog that he's presenting, even though Ben had previously told her like he does this all the time. Like he listened to her about going to the Yankees game. She wound up not going. Oh, they wound up not going because he ditched her. He's like, I'm never doing this again. But he comes back and he's like, I'm just like, I'm going through it. Like I'm going through the 12 steps. I'm like, you know, like there's times where I can relapse. And it's really, really, really hard to take somebody that, and I fall into this category as well, where it's just like, if somebody tells me that they're really working to better themselves, like who am I to say I can't believe them? However, sadly, a lot of people that are addicts are really great manipulators. And they oftentimes find these like weakest links or people that they know have like a softer heart. And it's not that they target them on purpose, but they know that they have more wiggle room. And Felicity is like a prime example of a person that like he is able to sneak in. And it's a hard position to be in because, you know, she doesn't want Ben to lose out on a relationship with her father. Like she doesn't want, you know, this like family to be fractured. She believes in second, third, and maybe even fourth chances. But she gets herself into this position where like, oh my gosh, the moment that he started like kissing her neck, it was like death had been sprung upon me. I was like, this is revolting.
Yeah.
I honestly couldn't believe it. Like the fact that he, cause like the first time that they met, he says that he's in the city. He calls Felicity's like, oh, he's in the shower. His dad knows his son. He knows that Ben doesn't want to talk to him. So then he goes to Felicity's apartment, gets the address through Sean. And basically is like doing this like, look, like I'm not here because I want to like better my relationship with him or apologize. I'm here because I'm worried about him. And there's this thing called Al-Anon that like is of a group for family members and friends that like are of addicts. And I feel like this would be really great for him. Like, he won't listen to me, Felicity, but please, like, maybe you can get through to him. And she's like, okay. And then the second time he comes around, he's just like full on, like, you know, revealing like his shit onto her, like dumping onto her. And then Felicity once again is like not going to like chew away her boyfriend's like father. And but then because she's like a listening ear, he like full up accosts her, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's really bad, because while he is an addict and like you can have, one can have sympathy for that, he's manipulating Felicity. He knows Ben will not talk to him, and he assumes it will be easier to get through to Ben by way of Felicity. And that's correct, because to your point, I loved how they handled Felicity's reaction to all of this, because this felt perfectly like Felicity to be like, but don't you want a relationship with your father? Like, she truly doesn't understand. Like, she remembers that she mentions it in season one, the Halloween episode where her and Ben are having a discussion about his father. It's different to then to hear one story versus be Ben, who has lived it his entire life. And yeah, let's face it, not everyone deserves to be forgiven. Not everyone has earned your forgiveness. And even though, like, you know, they're your blood relative, they're your family, they're your parent, you only have a couple of parents, right? Like, that doesn't necessarily mean that you should allow them in your life. Like, that's just, I think things were different. I appreciate Felicity's perspective, because it does feel very of the time of like, she's very pushy with Ben to try and make up with his father. And like, don't you want to see him? Like, and he's like, you don't understand, I've been through this so many times. And he is, Ben's father is so manipulative towards Felicity, yeah, with the, oh, I've lost him, haven't I? He's crying. Like, and then he, like you said, he kisses her, and Felicity doesn't know what to do. Carrie Russell played this entire episode perfectly. Like, honestly, I thought the acting from her was incredible.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what to do. She's really now stuck in a very difficult position where, mm-hmm, if she tells Ben what happened, that will end any relationship potential with his father. But she, if she doesn't, he's going to expect that she'll be fine around his dad. And it all comes to a head when Ben wants Felicity and his dad to go to like a baseball game or something together, well, alone.
Theater, actually, but whatever.
Oh, either. Oh, yeah, a theater. Yeah. Because he wants him to get cultured or whatever the heck while he's in New York. But again, the problem is like Felicity doesn't want to be alone with his dad for obvious reasons, and finally she can't do it. She's like, I can't, he makes me uncomfortable, but she won't really say why. But Ben, it's interesting to me, Ben reacts the way he does, because it feels almost like this has happened before. Like, it feels, mm-hmm, like he kind of knew what it was before, like she wouldn't say, but he knew something was wrong, and he knew something had happened.
Interesting. And
I don't know if it has happened before, but I think like the fact that he was able to recognize these signs, I think, mm-hmm, is troubling, that like it may have been something that happened. And I thought this was interesting, Sarah. I would have bet money Ben was going to punch his father, like, because that's how he's dealt with some past issues, right? Like, it's through physical violence.
Yeah.
And the fact that he confronts his father at I forget the name of the bar they're always at. Epstein Bar. The fact that he confronts his father there and is just like, what did you do? I know you did something. She won't tell me what, but I know you did something.
Yeah.
And then he just says, I don't want you in my life, and leaves. I've never been so proud of Ben. Like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't, mm-hmm, believe it. Like, I could have sworn he was going to punch him, especially later on when his dad then fucking comes to the apartment. Are you kidding me? This guy just said, I don't want you in my life, after you kissed his girl, you assaulted his girlfriend. And that's what you do. And you have the audacity to ask for forgiveness in that moment. Like, yeah, truly unbelievable. I feel like you maybe eventually, right? Like, if that's what you want, maybe eventually you can ask for that, but the audacity to ask for it immediately before you leave. And it felt so manipulative also to be like, after Ben says, I can't give you that right now, which is a very reasonable response. He's not even saying I'll never forgive you. He's just saying that is not something I can give you right now. Mm-hmm. After all of that, his father says, I love you. It felt, Sarah, it felt so manipulative to me. And I know maybe it wasn't me. It's maybe he really believes it and all of that. But like, you wanted him to say, I love you too. And that was just not something that was going to be happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I just think that I don't have a parent that is not just like this, but like, I feel as though this is probably a very accurate portrayal. And I mean, having a manipulative parent that's either like narcissistic or abusive in some way, like it's just like the same exact like type of thing where it's just they use like the manipulation and these like different tactics to get you to feel bad like you're the one that's causing the issues and like not like the reason why you're not close. And it's just like, it's just revolting, like honestly, truly. And like the position that Mr. Covington put for Felicity, and like, yeah, like I'm really proud of Ben as well for not using like his go-to, which is violence. I think that last time we had talked about this, I had said something along the lines of like, you know, it's like a privilege to have like a parent and have in their lives. It's hard to say no. And like, blah, 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 whatever bullshit that I said. I mean, it's not bullshit. Like, I do believe it, but I also think that like, there's also a lot of strength in knowing your limitations and saying like, it's time for me to get this toxic person out of my life. And maybe in time. Like,
that's the thing. Maybe he goes through enough recovery and he actually has like learned and recovered and thought about all of this and comes to Ben and maybe even like writes a letter or something. Like, I feel like the next time you approach Ben probably shouldn't be in person. I think he needs space. But yeah, it just sucks. Like, it's really difficult. And oh my God, Felicity. I was so impressed with her this episode. Like, her and Ben both, I was like extremely impressed with, because they are young 20 somethings. Like, it takes a lot of emotional maturity to do what both of them did this episode. And for Felicity to then approach Ben and say like, I'm so sorry. Like, and he's like, no, don't apologize. Like, it's not your fault. And for her to still bring up Al-Anon and be like, I think though, you probably should talk to someone, because I you know, you said you want to kill your dad and I don't want you to feel that way. Like, I don't want you to feel that way. And he says like, oh, I don't need Al-Anon. I need a new dad. And she's like, well, that's not going to happen. So like, I just felt like the way Felicity handled this, while I wasn't a big fan of like her pushing Ben to see his father in the first place, I think she obviously realized like, wow, that was a mistake. But I do love her saying, you need to talk to someone about this. And like, maybe you should explore this as an option, because Ben is going to be resistant to it. And I appreciated how she wasn't pushy, but she was like, she was coming at him with like really good points of like, you have the dad you have. And so maybe you should explore a different option. And he takes her up on it, Sarah. I couldn't believe that in the same episode we were getting, like, he's actually going to go to Al-Anon.
Yeah. I mean, I was really happy and proud of him for going as well. I think that it just, it's a big leap to like go to a support group like that, especially for like a guy in that age group. I think that it's like putting aside like a lot of like ego about like therapy and, you know, dealing with everything like that. So I feel as though it was really great of him, and I hope that he gets something out of it. Like, I hope that he gives it a good shot. Like, maybe seeing Molly there could be helpful for him.
Yeah.
Because like, at least there's like a friendly face. I don't trust Molly. I don't know. I don't like her.
We'll see what happens with her.
I'm like, I was like, don't look at Ben, you know, don't look at him.
Don't even look at him. Get away from him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like keep those peepers away. Like, please, for goodness sake. I don't trust him at all. Her.
Yeah. So I was just so surprised and pleasantly surprised to see Ben getting help. And like, we'll see. Cause I've said to you, Sarah, I've been very nervous. He's been drinking a lot and we know his dad has alcohol abuse issues, you know, like he's an addict, a recovering addict. And like, I didn't want to see Ben follow that same path. But Felicity and Ben do seem stronger than ever. And that is like really lovely considering the fact of like what they just went through prior to this. So I really loved that specifically for them. Anything else about this episode that we didn't already touch on?
I don't think so. Like, I think that like a lot of stuff happened.
Gavel. Yes.
Mr. Covington.
Mr. Covington, guilty as fuck.
And Ben didn't. And
Ben, no, he's innocent. Ben is innocent. Special, he didn't do anything bad.
Special baby, yes.
Yeah, special baby, innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. So let's give out a point. Gosh, this one's a little bit more difficult for me. Okay. I was gonna say Ben or Felicity because I feel like both of them had
Felicity.
Really good episodes.
Okay. Get out of here.
No points for Felicity. Okay, let's get into our feedback for this episode. We got a message from Jamie, which FYI, Jamie, you did mention in your email you submitted feedback last week. You submitted it like I think the hours after we had recorded. It was very tight, so we weren't able to get to that feedback. Jamie asked a question. While I thought Ben buying Felicity's painting was super sweet and a great gesture, do you think Felicity was quick to excuse Ben's violent behavior?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think it's very, very, very concerning.
Certainly if he has the ability to pop off like that, especially if there's alcohol involved. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I truly do not feel comfortable with, Ben's alcohol usage nor like, you know, violence. It's interesting because like Pacey punched people all the fucking time and I was
we love to punch people. Yeah, but
he never touched Pacey. Joey never touched Joey. From my recollection, he never like grabbed her wrist or like pushed her up against anything or like threw anything at her. Like he loved to punch bitches and hoes, but they're all guys. And his dad, especially, and his brother, but he was never violent towards any woman. I don't think.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think he ever did. No, I agree. I think it's troubling. It's concerning to say the least. We'll see. I think Felicity sees someone who needs help in Ben. And I think she is like very naturally someone who wants to help, right? Like, I don't think she sees those things as like deal breakers. I think she's like, we can work on them together. Jamie continues on to this week's episode. Who in the writer's room thought it'd be a good idea to have Ben's father kiss Felicity? They were super literal with the title of the episode.
Yeah, it's truly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Poor Felicity was completely frozen in shock. I have to say, while I'm very pro Ben and Felicity, I don't love what the show is doing with them. They're just giving them one obstacle after another. I wish they would explore more of the softer and fun side of their relationship, like when they broke into the pool. I was happy to see Felicity encourage Ben to get help and glad to see Ben listen to her and went to the meeting. And I sustained that Felicity looks very pretty with her hair up.
Yes. Yes. I do agree with that. I think that like I would like to see more fun from them. And the lightness.
Yeah.
I think that they're going through a lot this season and it would be really nice if they were able to just be, but that's not good TV, I guess.
Yeah, I would like to let them have some lighter moments as well. Like it's all been a lot very heavy recently, so hopefully they get to have more fun soon. Jamie continues, I can't believe Noel hacked into Tyra Banks's email. One of the main reasons I was never able to get behind him and Felicity is this desperation he has, and it's incredibly unattractive, and he's married.
Yes, he is very desperate because he would do anything for love. So,
yeah,
even that, as I said earlier,
I will leave you with an interesting tidbit I learned last week. I was listening to a podcast with Amy Heckerling, the director of the movie Clueless, which you've covered. She revealed that Keri Russell was one of the actresses who auditioned for the role of Cher.
Wow. That would be wild to see.
Very different.
I feel like Cher is, it's just Alicia Silverstone through and
through. You have to. Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's get to some of our voicemails. We did get a voicemail from Temi, so let's see what he has to say.
Hi, ladies. Tyra Banks was on a season of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The backstory of her character was that Will knew her from his time living in Philly. What other sitcoms did you watch in the 90s other than Friends and BMW? How do you think sitcoms compare from then to now? For me, it was easier to catch a few episodes of a show like Seinfeld in syndication and hear about other episodes from that show in the culture and kind of feel like you got a gist of the show. Nowadays, I feel like I need 2 to 3 recommendations or references before I check out a pilot. I came to a Community through Alison Brie's performance in the movie 5-Year Engagement, and just reading about Community in general. And then I also feel that Community, for me, did everything that I want from a sitcom, so I don't need to rush out to find others. And also, do you ladies use a password manager app? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, sitcoms. I famously love sitcoms. I'm a huge fan of a sitcom. In the 90s, I watched a lot of the like syndicated ones, like Step by Step, Family Matters, Family Ties, like anything that was in syndication that I could get my hands on, I was watching. But I agree with you, Temi. Sitcoms in the modern day are much more difficult. I think it's gone for the most part are the days of like 20 something episode seasons, right? Like Abbott still kind of hangs on to that, Abbott Elementary, but like most other shows aren't doing that, that aren't like, you know, your like CSIs and your procedurals basically. I agree. I think for a modern sitcom to kind of fight through all the other television that's on TV, it has to be doing something new and exciting. And so I think that's probably why Abbott has been such a big hit. But as to some, I'm trying to think of some like 90s sitcoms I watched beyond like Friends and all of them. Obviously, like Parks and Rec, The Office, Schitt's Creek, I'm a big fan of. I've seen a lot of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia at this point, and I've seen all of Modern Family. We're catching up on What We Do in the Shadows. Ghosts is a really good one, actually. If I was going to recommend a modern sitcom that most people maybe haven't checked out, it would probably be Ghosts, because I think it's one of those ones that's like, it's on CBS, so like people don't take it super seriously, but it's like a fun, it's a good time. What about you, Sarah?
In terms of sitcoms, like I remember I used to watch a lot of stuff that like Three's Company that we mentioned earlier. I watched like Gilligan's Island, like the Nick at Night stuff. I like watch a lot of like Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah. And then like in terms of like 90s sitcoms, I watched The Nanny, a little bit of Home Improvement, Sister Sister. Does that count as one? I'm like reading a list.
I guess so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like those were kind of what I gravitated towards, and I did watch Friends as well. Yeah. But in terms of like sitcoms now, I think like, yeah, like the quality is just like not as good. I think the last sitcom that I've watched that I really, really loved was The Good Place. I think that was like the last that I was like, you know, watching appointment television, like there every single week watching it, felt like they did a really great job. It was new and different and funny. So I think that was the last time that like I really loved a sitcom, but yeah, it's definitely different these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to get a to get people sitting down and watching a sitcom, especially today's TV landscape is like so different. There's not appointment television for the most part, like there was back in the 90s for sure. Okay, let's hear what DBK has to say about this episode of Felicity.
What up, though, ladies? So a quick couple things from last episode. Sarah, you were right. Ben did fight Lynn at Epstein Bar when he had his gambling problem, and Lynn dropped the great line, "I worry about my dumb friend Ben." And then Jessica, you were right there with the painting. I do believe this is a callback to Help for a Lovelorn, because in that episode when they are trapped in the box with the walls, Ben runs into the wall and Dole makes fun of him. It's like, I'm smart enough not to run into walls. So, yep. I mean, there's that callback. So more credence to that. Like, you know, maybe Sarah should get her purse from Adam. Who knows? Anyways, kissing Mr. Covington. We get all like the weird stuff with Ben's dad making Felicity uncomfortable and like, you know, making Ben's relationship with his dad even more complicated. We get Sean and Megan breaking up for the millionth time. McGrath, the whole McGrath thing is finally coming out, and that leads to Tracy finding out that Alea cheated on him. And then we end the episode with Ben going to like a non-meeting, and why is Molly there? Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
Molly is there because her brother is a heroin addict, allegedly.
Right. See, this is what makes me think even more that Ben's going to be the one that does the drugs.
I don't trust that Molly. I don't like her.
I just feel like since
moment one, I just like didn't trust her. Once again, I saw this crazy documentary. Called Breaking Bad, and one of the people that were Breaking Bad, like him and his friends, literally went to AA and then would sell the drugs to these people that had problems. And this is happening nationwide. I saw in this documentary called Breaking Bad. So it's really, you haven't heard of it.
It's really obscure. Yeah.
Really obscure. But like, I've seen it. So.
Wow.
Don't trust her at all.
Wow. Yeah. I don't have any reply to that. Beyond to say, yeah, a little bit sus of Molly. We'll see what ends up happening. I just feel like this is what's going to lead to the drugs being taken by Ben. But we'll see. Do you want to know? Next week's episode. I think you're going to like the name of it.
Yeah, tell me. I.
A good egg.
Good egg.
A good egg.
It's a good egg.
Yeah. Someone's a good egg.
Yeah.
And also, Sarah, something to keep in mind for next week is we'll be at the halfway mark of season 3, which means it'll be time to do a character ranking. So keep that in mind.
I'm ready.
To roast and toast people, baby. Yeah,
I got. My list already in my head. I know.
Incredible. That's our episode. Next week we'll be discussing season 3, episode 8 of Felicity. Once again, if you want to watch our beautiful faces discussing these shows, find us on YouTube, Shit90s Pod. Make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with everything we have going on. As of this podcast release, it is December, which means, of course, we're going to have holiday content coming out soon for you all. I think first on the list is something I feel like, Sarah, we have talking about this movie probably every single year since Shit 90 Shows. Tommy has been a thing. We love Sandy B, and we're going to be covering While You Were Sleeping, which I believe neither one of us has seen, correct?
No, I've never seen that movie.
Yeah. So that will be the first movie up on our holiday rotation this year. And super excited. And apparently, Sarah, we got feedback from anybody who watched the North podcast with the presentation. People love that format. They thought it was really fun. So I'm really looking forward to you doing a presentation on a movie of your choice for me in the future.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I will start thinking about it now.
Yes. In the meantime, if you want to follow us at Shit90sPod everywhere on social media, as well as Shit90sPod.com, you could also hear me on Talking Shit, talking about Schitt's Creek, the aforementioned incredible sitcom. And Sarah has a ton going on over on Whirlwind Podcast. So, of course, feel free to give that a listen. They have loads and loads of content to get you through your day. Anything else, Sarah, you want to promote before we get on out of here?
No. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving and enjoys the holiday season.
'Tis the holiday season. So until next time, everyone, have a good one. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get juicy large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.